to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, 15. The title I put, there's going to be probably two or three titles on this, but I put, "Let Yahweh frustrate our enemies." It's not really our job to be frustrating the enemies. Let Yahweh do it. And if we'll let Him do it, He's got a good way of doing it. Amen. But what I wanted to do is, since we're in this season of Elul, and we're into this 6 month, and the scriptures, and we're going to read here in just a moment, in Nehemiah chapter 6, it's going to even tell you. And so I want to use Nehemiah to tell this story about the building of the wall, and then once the wall got built, what's next? And, you know, really, what is the goal? Now, this is what I want to do first. Let's just say everybody in here is in the process of building a new home. Now, I know that some of them are in the process of building a new home. But let's just say everybody is in the process of building a new home. I'm going to get you to raise your hand in just a moment. Only ladies. Guys, don't raise your hand. You can just think of it in your mind, because you're going to ruin it. Because I know guys think different than the ladies do. But here's the deal. The deal is you have a certain amount of money. Most of us know this. You have a certain amount of money to build a home. In that certain amount of money that you have to build a home, does this ever build the home that you want it? No. You're usually about $100,000 short, okay? It's just the way it seems to be. So I see a lot of heads going up and down, because what happens is, you know, we figure we put it on paper, and then we lose the paper or something. I don't know what happens. It just don't work that way. So that's right. Prices aren't the same, and everybody tells you the low end, but when you get in it, it's always the high end. You know, Doug Merritt always told me, I buy high and I sell low. So if any time I buy something, you wait around and you're going to get it for a good price, because sooner or later, I'm going to get that hankering for something else, if that's a word. But anyway, so what I want to do is I want to put us in this position. So we have a certain amount of money, and we're building this house. Now, we're running out of money, because that's what we do. We run out of money, and the bank's not going to give us any more money, or we don't have any more, however it works out. So now you have a decision to make. Do you finish the inside, or do you finish the outside? You know, so this is what we're going to do. Now, in this, before you raise your hands, all right, the inside of your house, a bathroom is sort of important. So would you rather have bushes or bathroom? Because if you don't, you're going to be using the bushes. I'm just saying. So this is where you got to think when you're talking about finishing it. So really, the main part and the reason why the guys, because a lot of times the guys, you know, we might want the outside to look better. As for the shrubberies, maybe. Now, me, I don't want any shrubberies. I'm tired of cutting bushes. But the thing about it is, but usually ladies, I would imagine, would like the inside done because of cabinets, flooring, all of the functioning, and also the beauty of it. Now, am I off base there a little bit? No, it's usually the inside, because sooner or later, grass is going to grow. You're going to get tired of it. Bushes is going to grow, whether you like it or not, and all of the above. So in this story, it's about building a wall. And this is what was happening whenever they came out of captivity. They went back into the city. The wall was in shambles. Now, I will say another thing, like for me. For us, because I'm thinking, what is more important, the inside of the house or the outside of the house? Because now we are a temple, right? So what should be the most important in us? The inside or the outside? That's right, both. But what is more important? See, like I do, I work out. And I will tell you, in my working out, I do about 5 or 6 hours worth of weightlifting, about 3 minutes of cardio, you know. And I mean, I'm not talking about a day. I'm talking about within a week's time. A week's time. There you go. I'm giving them a heart attack up here. I mean, I go to the gym. I go to the gym 4 days a week, so I work out. And no joke, I do a lot more weightlifting than I do cardio. I don't do a lot of cardio because it hurts. And I will tell you that I will, like, the six-pack here, I like to leave a layer of fat over it. So there's just certain things that you just have to know that this is what you're just going to live with. Amen? So you work. It's a washed tub of abdominals. That's right. Washed tub of abdominals with a layer of slab over it. So anyway, so we know that even though we try to keep the body, because there again, I can say with the ladies, you know, how many hours do we spend in hair or makeup or whatever. So some, I'm not going to get in all of that, but I'm just saying there's an outside and there's an inside. The thing about it is what is the most important? It is definitely the inside. So as I'm using this as an example of building this wall that we're fixing to talk about of the city is very, very, very important. But we have to understand building the wall was not the goal. And that's where I want to go with this. Building the wall is not the goal. All right. First of all, what we're doing is this. Chapter 4, verse 15. When our enemies heard, and this is what I really wanted to start here, because this is one thing that we got to get. Because we're building something. Amen. We're building a kingdom. We're in this kingdom. We're building this kingdom. And don't think the enemy is not aggravated at what you're doing. They're getting more and more and more aggravating to where you can't even have an opinion without them just erupting like a volcano. But it says this, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that Elohim had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. So I put this scripture here to start off. Let Yahweh frustrate the enemy. We need to concentrate on what the plan is. What is Yahweh's plan for us in this time in 2018? What is he doing? He is restoring all things back to the ancient past. Do you think the enemy likes restoring things back to the ancient past? Absolutely not. And not only that, the church world as a whole don't like that because it's messing up what they're believing and what they're doing. Because it's just messing up what they've done for generations. Verse 16, from that day on, and this is, I just want us to look, this is something that we have to do, maybe our mindset. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, so there's a work that has to be done. Half held spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail, which is coats of mail is a garment of metal scales that went over them for protection. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand, and he held the weapon in another hand. Sometimes in this walk, this is what it feels like. Sometimes in this walk, it feels like we have this in one hand and we have the weapon in the other hand. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but the enemy uses flesh and blood to fight against and try to upset what his plan is in our life. Sometimes that's the way it feels. Sometimes we can concentrate here. We can enjoy this. Sometimes it's a fight and it's a battle. But here's the thing. You don't ever drop this. You know what I'm saying? If there's anything to drop, you drop a sword. You don't ever drop this sword. Amen? Because this is where the plan is at. And this will tell us what to do, when to do. But there's times in our lives when we're building a wall, when we're building a ministry, when things are happening, he's building a community. There's a time whenever there's working and there's this warring going on with the principalities because it's real. Verse 18, and it says, and each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side where he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. He's talking about Nehemiah. Now let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. So we're building a wall. Number one, before we get into this, we have to know that as this process is going, we need to let Yahweh do the frustrating, not us. When we don't, because if we try to do it, we're just going to be frustrated. Amen? And then when we realize that we can't do it, then we're going to wake up and we're going to say, well, he's going to do it anyway. So why do we stress with that? Nehemiah 6:1, it says, now when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, talking about Nehemiah, and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors of the gate. So now the wall is completed. The wall is completed, but the gates are not set up yet. Let's go down to verse 15. So as they were going through, because I'm going to Nehemiah 8, that's where I want to rest at. So I'm getting through this part. But Nehemiah 6:15 says this. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of what? That's important. because this is why I chose this, because this is the month that we're in. And Pete said it. There are times and seasons for everything. And there's reasons. If the temple was destroyed twice on the same day of the same month, there's a reason why this was going on in this month, because guess what? The wall was being built in preparation for a city to function as a city. But what are we getting? We're in preparation for Sukkot, which is the city to function in the eternal city. So you can see how even, I believe this is why during this time in this 6 month, on the, what did it say, that they had built it on the 25th day of the month of the 6th month of Elul, in 52 days they had this thing built. So it's about preparing and getting ready for something. For us, it's Sukkot. But not only just for Sukkot this year, but for the real Sukkot whenever he returns, and we're all, because we're all stones fit together. You can see that we're part of this wall. Then he says this, he says, and when our enemies heard it, all the nations around us was what? Afraid. And they fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our Elohim. So what's happening is this is why we stay strong. We stay strong and we work and we do, because whenever things come together, and you know what? He's slowly putting this together. This wall, this what he's doing in this ancient path, he's slowly paving a way to where people are now seeing and understanding. And people like you are being able to minister to people, whether their ears are totally open or not, but you're being able to plant these seeds, you're being able to bear fruit, give them, and you're giving them thought patterns, and you're being able to show them, because eventually there's something's going to be stirring in their heart to, at a moment's time when something happens, they're going to get it. It's just, it's going to be, the light bulb is going to go off. They're going to say, why have I not seen this? You can't see something before you see it. I've said that so many times. I wished I'd have seen this when I was 18. I would be so much in my mind further along. No, I wouldn't. Because I can only be where the Father wants us to be in this move where he has us. I don't know a whole lot of people that's way, way further along than we are. There are some that's still paving the way, still beating back the bushes on the ancient past. But there's still a lot of people behind that's not even got on the train yet. You see what I'm saying? But those that are, the multitudes that are going to be coming on will be able to walk faster because the path is cleared. They don't have to hammer through the vines and everything and all the traditions of men that's got everything and all the religion that's got everything bound to us. We knock this path open. When people are starting to come in, they will have a clearer and a better walk. Now, will their walk be easy? No. It'll be probably easier, but it's still, you're still going to have trials and tribulations and all of the stuff that they, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to jump on this path with their luggage. And Yahweh's saying, you can't bring that. You can't bring those traditions. There's a whole new set of traditions. My ways are on this path. Every store, you can pick up what I've got for you on the way. You leave all of your stuff behind. Have a yard sale. Do what you want to do with it. Don't bring that stuff. Because if you do, it's just going to weight you down. Because you know what you're going to do? Instead of eating from his table, you're going to want to bring out of your suitcase and eat what was familiar. And he's saying, that ain't going to happen. You got to keep that behind. So this is what's happening, I believe, in this month is something that's really, because I can see stirring in people's hearts and lives all over the place, and just by talking to them, you know, in just the different stores. But anyway, in this, you can see where the enemy, when this thing busts open, you're going to start seeing their countenance is going to fall. All right, let's go to Nehemiah 7, verse 1. And this is where we want to start getting to. Now, when the wall was built, or when the wall had been built, and I had set up the doors, now you see a total completion. The doors are set up, the gates are there. Now what does he do? The gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed. Now the worshipers come. What I'm saying is this. The wall was being built for worship. The wall was being built for us to honor Yahweh Elohim. All that we're doing for worship. Worship is not just what's going on up here with the music. Worship is what we do every day in our life, being able to mentor people, to be able to tell people, to teach people. Because obedience is the highest form of worship. When obedience, when it starts happening, when people start obeying His ways, the heavens get excited. And when the heavens get excited, they start breaking strongholds. Because there, do you know, I mean, we can read in the scripture, because it says now, it says the Archangel Michael and Hasatan, Satan, are doing what in the heavens? They're warring in the heavens. There's warring going on in the heavens. And a lot of times we down here, we're just oblivious. But you're going to have to know that one day, Satan is going to be cast down to this earth. You think it's bad now? He's got enough with his elves, you know, that he uses the demonic forces that are down here doing what they do. Just think, when he shows up, because he's going to be cast down. We definitely, as a body of Messiah, will need to be a whole lot stronger in our faith than we are right now. Because there's a warring that's going on in the heavens. We're not designed to war against him. What we're designed to do is to follow this word. And when we follow this word and we pray, and from this prayer, then there's where warfare starts. On your knees and praying like you was talking about. Me coming up here, coming from the standpoint of where in my journey I came through the Pentecostal area to where I was a binding and a loosing. I was binding and loosing things. I was binding things I shouldn't have bound and loose things that I shouldn't have been loosing. I had it backwards. But what I'm saying is I was running around thinking that I could just, you know what I mean? I mean just, now, trying to be careful. Tammy's like, be careful. Well, what I'm saying is this. We can pray. We can bind and loose. We do that. I'm saying that. 100% we can do that. I want everybody to calm down. We can do that. But what I want to do is there's proper timing. There's proper, what is the Father? The word we read is plan. What is His plan? What is going on in our lives in His plan? Do we really know? Because I think what I'm trying to say is this. A lot of times we're just shot out of a cannon. And we just go out and we just start doing and saying and doing and saying and doing and saying. And we don't really know, because all of a sudden what happens when people start changing? What are you going to tell them? Where are you going to lead them? Where are you going to direct them to? And then all of a sudden they're going to say, well, what about this food thing? What about this thing? What about... There has to be a plan. There has to be preparation. There is time of prayer to where we really have to do what she says. Get out on our knees. We need to pray, and we need to ask the Father to give that direction. But we need to do it His way. But gatekeepers, singers, and the Levites had been appointed. It just shows me that the wall was not the finished product. The work has now just begun, is what it's really about. All right, now let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. And so I guess here I jumped the gun a little bit, but this is one thing that I wanted us to get to. Nehemiah 8:1 said this. It said, and all of the people gathered as what? If we can't gather as one man and you go out by yourself binding and loosing, I'm binding and loosing, he's binding and loosing something totally different. We got, you know what I'm saying? We got everybody else. I'm binding something, he's trying to loose. And they're trying to loose something, I'm over here trying to bind. What I'm saying is we're just all an individual. You know, me and Jesus has got our own thing going, and we're trying to put hell out with a water pistol. Instead of doing, because what do? In law enforcement, when you go in, you work as a team. Firefighters work as a team. People work as a team. When they work as a team, they're working as what? One man. Football players, basketball, you work as a team. You work as one man. You have to know what everybody else's job and what they're doing and that they're going to do their job. Okay? So now you see, the first thing is all the people gathered as one man. If we can get that gathering as one man, this is the very first step of the elements of worship. They gathered into the square before the water gate, and I thought that was interesting, by the water of the word, but the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the Torah of Moses that Yahweh had commanded Israel. So the first thing that I've got down here is there has to be a hunger. None of this is going to happen until there's a hunger. What are we hungry for? And this is why I sort of started out with the thing about the house, the outside, the inside. Are we more hungry for the things that happen to the outside of us? Or are we more hungry for the things that we need to be eating for the inside of us that's going to change us and make us healthy? Amen? It's going to make us spiritually healthy, because I can tell you what, you can be physically healthy and be spiritually sick. That is no good. Amen. So there has to be a hunger. Do we have a hunger? And you know what? It doesn't matter how long you've been in this walk. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. The thing about it is I know that when we first get saved, there is the hunger bell rang. And we are hungry, and we're just soaking up everything that's good. But guess what we also did? We soaked up everything that wasn't good because we had no discernment. We just had no discernment. Everything we read was right. And then finally, slowly, wait a minute, this one is saying totally opposite of this one. And then we started getting discouraged. But what I'm saying is you know what? You can lose your hunger. And this is what these seasons are about, is to make sure that we maintain that we're hungry, that we have a balanced diet, and we stay hungry for His Word. Because if you lose this hunger for His Word, all of this is going to fall by the wayside. That's just the way it'll be. But for us, I like the way he was saying, bind us together. We all gathered as one man in the square, and they brought the book of the law. Now, let's go to Psalms 19. Now, I just want to show you something about this book that's been done away with, okay? Verse 7, I'm just going to read through it. The Torah of Yahweh is what? Perfect. Reviving the soul. So what revives the soul? This book. There is not an herb out there that can revive your soul. There's not an essential oil. You can bathe in it. Even Epsom salt might help you feel a little better, but it ain't going to revive your soul. This right here revives the soul. This is the only thing that can revive. And not all of the self-help books and books a million. They can't revive your soul. They can probably make you feel good for a little while, but there's talking about a reviving of the soul. This is what does it. The thing that most of Christianity as a whole says been done away with, because when this was written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not written at this time. Amen. And he said this. He says the law of Yahweh is perfect. It can't really get any better. Reviving the soul. It says the testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing in the heart. If your heart's sad, you need to get in His Word. His Word said He'll bring joy and rejoicing to your heart. The commandments of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. It'll take the red out. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The rule of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they that with gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. So he's telling you, now this is the very thing that people don't like, is the law of God. And this is what happens to you when you have the Torah and you wear it and you read it and you get it in here. You don't have to go to Job, because it's just one verse. I'll just read it. Well, verse 11, I forgot that one in Psalms. Moreover, by them is your servants warned. By them, by what? By the Torah are your servants warned, and in keeping them there's great reward. Well, I can tell you, I want to be warned when I need to be warned. Amen? So I don't fall into a rattlesnake pit. And I want to be able to be blessed when I need to be blessed. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to read this in Job. You can just write it down, Job 23:12. I thought this was interesting. I have not departed from the commandment of your lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portions of food. And I'm going to read that again. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the word of his mouth more than the portions of my food. And do you know the reason why I thought this was very interesting? By the best scholars that I know of, Job lived in during the time of Isaac. He was ages before Moses. What commandments did he have? Because it was given to Adam. And Adam passed it down, and Noah passed it down to his sons. The commandments were given in the garden. Because here you have Job. Job is sitting here talking about, your commandments are worth more than natural food. Sounds like Psalms. Sounds like what we were just reading from David. Well, where did these commandments come? When you start thinking about Job, I know when you start putting him in the line of the book, you sort of think that he's after Moses somewhere. Job was way before Moses. They don't really know exactly when he showed up, but they're saying he's probably around the time, because of some of the genealogies, around the time of Isaac, and was probably alive when Abraham was alive. You can imagine, and they're talking about, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. So you know what? It had to be that Noah taught his sons the commandments, because he ended up knowing these commandments. I think sometimes we just take it for granted. But he said, I have treasured. And you know what? Job sort of went through some hard times. He lost everything. And I mean lost everything. But he never cursed the Father. He always said, you know what? I came into this world naked, and I'll just go out that way. And the Father blessed him more than double. So the first thing you have to have is it, and here's the thing. Think about Job before we go to the next one. If you don't have the hunger, if trials and tribulations come, you will be tripped up. Because sometimes this is where you have to go back to when all else seems to be falling off. Do you have a hunger? If you have a hunger for his word, I don't care what comes your way. You know what? You're going to say what Job said. I came in here with nothing. I'll go out with nothing. I'm good with that. Because you know what? Can I say to the sun, be still? You can't do it. So that's what you have to have is the hunger. That's number one for worship. Number two is hearing of the word. In Nehemiah 8:2, we go back to Nehemiah 8, 2 and 3 says this. So Ezra, the priest, brought the Torah before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard. And when was this? On the first day of the what? Seventh month. When is that? That's trumpets. That's blowing of trumpets. So the law is brought before them on trumpets on a holy day. And it said this. It was brought to them before all who could understand what they heard. And he read from it. Now this is going to really trip us up. So y'all don't panic when I do this. Because I'm not going to hold you to this. And he read it from it facing the square of the water gate. When did he read this? From early morning until midday. From 6 to probably 12. How many hours is that? And a lot of times, we struggle to stay in a service for a couple hours. And some people, when it's 12 in most services, the parking lots are empty. But yet these people had a hunger. And by having that hunger, they were standing. He started reading the Torah. Now, I can say this, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying, I know if I was sitting there and somebody stood up here and started in Genesis and read for me for 6 hours, they would probably be some good sleep somewhere in between there. In a setting, I'm just saying. So, but can you imagine, I'm just trying to put in perspective what these people were doing. They were all very attentive. They were not snoozing and sleeping. They were very attentive while they're listening to the Torah read from Ezra. I hope he was a lot better reader than me, or they would have needed a whole lot better understanding, like interpretation somewhere. But in the presence of the men and the women, and he says it again, and all those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were, like he said, attentive They were concentrating on the book of the Torah. So the hearing is more than just listening. The hearing is hearing, being attentive to know that I got to apply what I'm fixing to be told. So in other words, you're getting marching orders. See, a lot of times we can sit here and we can say, okay, here's a service, or here's a message, or here's some reading or whatever. This is what we do. Let's go eat and let's play ball. You know what I'm saying? But what is the most important thing of Shabbat in entering into Shabbat is doing what he commanded us to do, number one, in this word. This word, look, fellowship is part of it. Breaking bread is part of it. Prayers is part of it. But the apostles' doctrine is very, very much a part of it. And the thing about it is this is where you understand what is the plan. We live, me and Brian was talking about this morning. This world is fastly going down the tubes. I mean, it is, people are insane and they don't know it. I mean, when you take somebody, I'm just going to speak from my perspective. People where I live don't have a problem bringing you their pets. They don't have a problem bringing you their dogs and drop them off. I don't know why. I ain't going to say where I live on radio because they'll bring me more. I mean, on the podcast, they bring me more. I have a hard problem, and that's a dog. That's a stray dog. Don't know it, don't have any, but I have a hard time shooting that dog. You see, what I'm talking about is I don't even want to shoot an animal. I can't imagine how people can just go and just, without thinking about it, just kill their kids, just kill their wife, kill whatever, go in and get mad about something. Jacksonville, where we were at it, Revive, sitting there playing a Madden game, just sitting and playing a video game, all for money, and, you know, it's a competition. He gets beat. He gets mad. So he shoots two people. Probably would have shot more if something wouldn't have happened. What is going on with society today? You're playing a football game on a computer. And it makes you that mad that you can kill, you can take life from somebody? Guys, the enemy, you want to know what a reprobate mind is? Is that not what we're living in a reprobate society when somebody does not have the conscience enough. It's bad enough when you, like I said, if you got a stray animal or something, but it's one thing to not even value life of a human that's not doing anything to bother you. To go in a restaurant while families are in there eating in a family restaurant and just start shooting people. You don't know them. What is going on? I can tell you what's going on. This is not going on. And when they have turned from this, then he says, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind and I will cause. And you know what? They will do things that their mind can't even imagine they would do. And it's already here, guys, because I can tell you in my mind, I love everybody in here. And there's some people outside that don't like me, and there's probably people in my life that I probably not liked before. But I ain't never thought about killing them. I ain't never thought about just shooting them and all their kids and their animals and going cutting the rose bushes up. I'm just saying, what is going on in the mind of man for this to happen? I know in law enforcement, they see this way more, and they see how can a family, a husband and a wife, or people living together. Look, guys, drugs is a bad disease. Addiction is a bad disease. But it comes from bad choices made all along the way. But to sit there and to be and have your little, then you're going to give babies birthing into this situation, into these homes. It's just, I'm just trying to paint this picture. We are in the end times. We are in the end times when man does not value man. When he doesn't value man is anything other than a piece of paper that you wad up and you throw in the trash. That's really what happens when you go out and you kill somebody like that. And don't even worry about it. And then sit there and say, how do you plead? Not guilty. Not guilty. What you mean? Well, I was temporarily insane. No. I can tell you, anybody that murders anybody, yes, they're insane. It's insane to do it. It's just crazy is what's happened. But we as a people need to get back to His Word. And when we read His Word, because it said, and here again, all who understand, the ears of all the people were attentive. We need to be very, very attentive to what this book says. Because if we're not going to be attentive and apply this book, we're in a heap of trouble. The next one is marked by honor. And you can see where each one builds. This one, then we have to have hearing. And you know what? And it's talking about hearing with understanding. Let me say this. Proverbs says, get knowledge, get understanding, and get wisdom. And this is the reason why it says that. Knowledge puffs up with pride if you have knowledge alone. But it says knowledge is how you get the facts. Understanding is how you arrange the facts. And wisdom is how you use the facts. It's all about the wisdom. See, they were having to hear. They were having to get understanding here before they ever get down to the worship part. Because what are you doing in worship? Because they were worshiping a golden calf with great intentions. But guess what? And they were sincere because they felt Moses is gone. We need another Moses. So we're going to worship Yahweh through this golden calf. Sincere, but sincerely wrong. This is why this book is so important. Hunger, understanding what you're hearing. He's giving you a plan of what you are to do and how we are to worship. The next one is honor. This is one of the key things that we've been talking about, honor. Do we really honor Yahweh? Most of us don't. As a society. Or we would do exactly what He would say. Verse 5, and it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people as he had opened it all to the, as the people stood. And it said this, Ezra blessed Yahweh. I'm going to say it anyway. Ezra blessed Yahweh. We, on this day, we do some of the Amidah prayers. And in these prayers, how do most of them start? Blessed are you, O Yahweh or Elohim, King of the universe. They start that way. The Jewish people had it right. They tried to create more ways to bless Yahweh in a day. If they went 2 or 3 minutes without a blessing, it bothered them. We can't even get 2 or 3 minutes to bless Him without it bothering us. Because we got to shut it down. Well, I'm busy. Well, I'll get Him. My 3 o'clock alarm went off. Silence it. I'll get it in a minute. I'm busy. No. Blessing, honor, blessing. And this is why Ezra, it says, Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great Elohim, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped Yahweh with their faces to the ground. Because we have had situations where people would question, why do you do the Shema all the time? Why do you do this all the time? Why do you do this? This is rote. Let me tell you, if this is going on in your life, it ain't rote. Amen. If you have a hunger for His Word, honor is a honor to worship Him. Because it is a privilege to say, blessed are you, O Yahweh, my Elohim. The very Lord's Prayer, when they said, how do we pray? He says what? Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. In other words, you bless it. You come in a blessing. You honor Him. You just don't come in there with your list of wants. You know what I'm saying? I'd like a new 380. I'd like this. You know what I'm saying? You don't come in there with all the things that you like. Just barging on up in there. You bring honor to Him first. You show honor. Hunger and understanding brings honor. And we have to have this. I'm just telling us to do a check. This is what Elul's about. How are we doing in our life when we approach the King? Do we honor Him? Or do we come in here with a grocery list? I want my feast gift. You know, or whatever we do. So honor. So Ezra blessed Yahweh. And he said, and when they did that, they lifted up their hands. You know, Jeremiah and the music team, they have a lot of good talent. But they will tell you in a heartbeat, it isn't about the talent. Because they can stand up here, and without an anointing, they can fall flat like that. They can all hit wrong notes, and they will all sit there and say, they can have a beautiful practice, and something go just like that. We can do it up here. If there's no anointing, there's just no change. Their job, and it's a job. Did it not say, once the wall was built, he called for the gatekeepers, he called for the Levites, he called for the singers? Yeah, they had a job to do. And the job was to do what? Lead people into worship. Lead people into being able to get your healing. Do you know that's what worship is really about? When you're obeying his word and you're being obedient, the beautiful thing is when we come in here most of the time, there's a few ailments. There's a little arthritis going on, or bursitis, or one of them itis brothers and sisters come in here. You may need something. You know what? You may need, Jonathan, you may need that job. Jonathan and his wife been praying for that job a while. They just didn't up and say, well, I'll just pray for it tomorrow. They've been working. And now the Father's now what? Working in their life. What was that we were talking about this morning? Was talking about Deuteronomy 28, part of our Torah blessing. It says, if you obey, I will bless. What do we want to do? Bless me and I'll obey. No, he's not going to bless you and then you're going to obey. Because you know what? You won't be satisfied. Because you know why I know that? Because we have a closet full of shoes and clothes that we don't ever wear. Amen? I'm just saying, that's a few things. Like I said, my wife said, you buy one more hunting thing. You know what I'm saying? You don't buy nothing else in your hunting closet until you get rid of this right here. We are not shoving it over, folding it, and putting it in an airplane. And she's right. But boy, it sure looks good when I go through the catalog. I got to have that. That's what we do. We got to have that. Yeah, some of them kids, they got Legolands and all that now. We got all that stuff. Well, that's just what happens to us. So the thing about it is honor, being able to honor him. Number four is this. It's marked by handling his word. 7 and 8 says this. I'm not going to read these 13 men, and I'm assuming these were all men because I can't understand their names. So I don't know if they're men or women. So there's 13 of them right there before it gets to the Levites. And it said, these people and the Levites help the people to understand the Torah. Today we have a fivefold ministry. Is that not true? We have a fivefold ministry. I'm just really saddened that the fivefold ministry is not doing its job. Because it says that these people help them to understand the what? The Torah. The fivefold ministry today as a whole is not helping the people understand the Torah. The fivefold ministry is you sow a Volkswagen, you'll get a Cadillac. You sow a Cadillac, you might get an airplane. Now, is it something where really and truly where a minister has to just beg the people, and I saw this, for a $54 million plane so he can go minister to somebody? I'm like her. I don't need $54 million to go minister to somebody in Zimbabwe. I can get on my knees first. And I get on my knees and I can pray. And I can promise you, how many times do we see in the scripture where people are praying, Cornelius, praying, and he's ministering to Peter. Now, the only reason why Peter went over there was because Peter had to learn a lesson. He had to learn that the Gentiles were part of this, and they're not segregated. So Peter, it wasn't about what Cornelius, the angel, could have told him, this is the way. This is the way, and this is all you got to do. You are already giving alms. You are a righteous man. The Father has blessed you, but send two guys to go get Peter. Peter needs to learn a lesson. Peter needs to know that the Gentiles are coming in. And don't call anybody unclean that I've called clean. Not food, but people. So you can see, but you do see other people. We were talking about it last night. Stephen mentioned it last night. Where Yeshua's there, a centurion came up to him and said, I have a sick one. And he says, let's go. He said, you don't need to go. All you need to do is say the word. He said, because I'm a man under authority. And I know when I say this man go and that man go, they go. All you have to do is say the word, and my daughter, my son, will be healed in your name. That's how great it is. Now, if he calls us to go do something, $54 million for a plane to go. You know, $54 million. Yeah, probably on sale. I'm trying to think in my mind, how many tickets could you book? I don't think you could buy that many tickets and make that many trips in your lifetime, especially when you're already 65 and you need it. $54 million in a plane. What's on that plane? They got to go somewhere. They've got to be a lot of super something they're going to. Think about it. And you know what? People, widows, sending hundreds, thousands of dollars, sending their income, they'll miss meals. I love that man, whatever. And you know what? When that widow's in a bind, government's got to take care of her because they don't know. They have no relationship. What did it say when we first started? They were all in one mind and one accord. They were all, it was a community of people. The reason why there's a community of people is because it takes people to help people. That's what he did. He didn't want us to be individuals. He wanted us to be able to rely on one another. He wanted us to be able, he give me talents to do what I can do. If you hot, I can try to make you cool. He give me that talent if I got time to do it. If not, we can try to figure out what we can do to get you that way. But you know what? But if I've got roofs leaking, then he's giving somebody talents to keep me dry. You know what I'm saying? That's what a body is for. It's for us to be able to do that. And it's to be able to minister to one another. But it's how do we handle when all of this happens? There's a handling that happens. And that's what he did. He set a fivefold ministry to teach people the Torah, because the Torah tells us how to worship. We read it in Psalms. And it said, verse 8, and he said, they read from the book, from the law, the Torah of Elohim, clearly. And it says, and they gave the sense, in other words, they helped them to understand that the people understand the reading. I thought this was very, very, gave them, fivefold ministry is designed to be able to, it's for the Torah. Last one, heeding, Nehemiah 8:9-12. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, who was the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy. This day is set apart, because this was trumpets. To Yahweh, this day is set apart to Yahweh, your Elohim. Do not mourn or weep, for all of the people wept as they heard. Now, they've been listening for this word for 6 hours. 4 to 6 hours they've been listening. And they wasn't weeping because they were wore out from listening. They were weeping because the word brought conviction. The word, they have never heard this word. This word brought conviction. And they were in a very remorseful and repentant, contrite heart. This is why they were weeping, as they heard the words of the Torah. Does that do it to us, or does it put us to sleep? You know what I'm saying? If we're in sin and we know we're in sin, if we're reading about it, especially you go through one of the scriptures, it pointing you out and it's neon going off, what do? You just say, well, I think I'm going to go to the Haftorah portion. You know what I'm saying? You just jumped at. But no. We need to be weeping because of the revelation of sin, because sin separates. And that's why they were weeping. They knew that sin separated from their Elohim. That's what got them over in Babylon to start with. And now that they come over here, they don't want to go back into what they've had. So they're weeping, but it's the wrong day to weep, because this is a holy day. This is a time for rejoicing. And he said, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is a set apart holy day to Yahweh. And do not be grieved, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength. You know, we always hear that scripture. The joy of Yahweh is our strength. We sang that thing in charismatic. We'd jump around. You know, we'd sing it, not even realizing it's tied into a feast day. So the Levites calmed the people. Said the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this is a day that is holy. Do not be grieved, because this is not a time to wail and weep. This is a time to rejoice. And as we're coming through Elul, I want us to, when we hit trumpets, I want us to trumpet. I want this to be the happiest, joyful day of your life. But you can't have it if this is not happening in our life. And this is why I'm bringing this today. Because still do I hunger for His Word like I used to. It all starts with that hunger. If we're not hungering for this Word, because this is what's going to change us, and this is what's going to keep us changed. Hearing, understanding, honoring Him, making sure that we bless Him and make sure that we remember. I just believe this. Why does He tell us to pray after we eat? Because when we're full and satisfied, we usually forget Him. And He says, after you eat, when you're full and satisfied, bless me. And that's why we bless. But you know what? I've been doing this, I don't know, Tammy knows how many years. It's still hard for me to remember to do that. We got little bitty cards here to remind us. Got to stick them out on here. That's a shame. But the thing about it, I don't have a problem remembering to pray before I eat because I'm hungry. Physical hungry. I just know that whenever I get ready to eat, how many usually don't have a problem remembering to pray before you eat? You usually don't. But remembering after you eat is hard. We wasn't raised that way. But it's a commandment. And He tells us to do that for one reason. It's setting something in motion in us that whenever we have and life is good, we don't forget to bless Him. We don't forget to honor Him, because I'm telling you, if you're satisfied, you're not what? Hungry. We are always to be hungry. This is something is different hunger than just pacifying. Amen? We're not to do the pacifying part, but the heating part. In verse 12, and it says, and all the people went their way to eat and they drank, and they sent portions and to make great rejoicing because they had what? See, I like this right here because all the way through, when you hear the word understanding, that they may understand, that they may understand, look what it says, because they had understood. Finally, understanding, now they're getting it. And the wisdom is walking it out that they declared to them. And I want to say this right here. I wrote this little piece down here. Well, there's two things. Sukkot is not about camping. It's about worship. We go to Sukkot to worship. That's the commandment. He told us to get out from in our comfort. Sukkot is not about suffering. Sukkot is not about getting out there and letting ants eat all your food. Sukkot is not out there getting eat up by mosquitoes and saying, you know what, this is the most miserable. That is not what Sukkot is about. Sukkot is not about you. It's about Him, because this is a feast unto Him. Unto Him. It's not a feast unto me. It's the mindset. It's the heating. It's the mindset of it. Sukkot is not about camping. It is about going to worship. Every day we are to worship. Now, are we to have fun? Yes, we're going to have fun. It's the season of our joy. But sometimes we can have, you won't have too much fun. But what you can do is you can get to doing the things you want to do, and you try to fit in a little worship. That ain't what it's about. This is about worshiping Him. This is why we go to Sukkot. We're fortunate enough to have a place. We're outgrowing the place. Maybe the Father will give us a bigger place one day. But the thing about it is, it's about going. We started off about going as one mind. We've been reading Psalms every day for most of us that remember. And that last part, she gave out some good nuggets about it through the little thing in River Life email. It's about binding together. We're binding together as one. We go in and we worship as one. Have you ever noticed that whenever people are worshiping? I mean, whenever He didn't turn around and when it went to Jericho, y'all march around that thing the last day seven times, and the Levites, y'all shout. No, He said everybody shout. Everybody teruah. Everybody was in one mind, one accord, doing the same thing. Worship, doing what He planned to do. So number one, Sukkot is not about camping. It's about worship, and it's about worshiping the King. That's how we have to go. The other thing that I wrote down here is this. During this time, I wrote down, the devil wants to turn conviction into guilt. But there's a difference between a broken spirit and a gloomy spirit. In other words, there's a difference between a broken and a contrite heart and a gloomy spirit. Somebody that's just sad. The thing about it is, the devil wants to bring you to a place, and I say this is that spirit, wants to bring you to a place to where he keeps you down. The Holy Spirit has a job also to bring us down. Conviction, but he brings us down to lift us higher. Because when he brings us down, we realize we're a sinner. We take care of what happens, and we repent, and we rejoice. We toss sleep. We go to the river. We do what we got to do during this month. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? He brings us up on eagle's wings. Then we can, but we can't soar. You can't fly with all that sand hanging off of you. You just can't get your wings. Your wings ain't strong enough. So you have to spiritually get rid of it. The devil wants to get you down there to keep you down. The Holy Spirit, that's right, he wants to bring condemnation, and he wants you to live there. But the Father has this, but worship, repentance, you got to take care of that, because you can't have worship when you're in full in sin. It doesn't work that way. You can sing, and you can feel good for a moment, but there's no joy in your life. You can be happy for a moment. Did it happen? Did it, you know? No, repentance, teshuvah, means to walk away. And when you do that, he will cleanse you. He will cleanse us. That's right. And you know what? There is a return. And then the Holy Spirit will take us, and he will bring us out of that miry clay. He will set us back up where we need to be, and we will be clean people, that we may worship our King like we need to be worshipped.